This is KWAI, Honolulu, 1080 on the AM dial.
It's time for the Carol Cox Show on K108, heard every Sunday from 8 a.m. to 10 a.m. If you have questions for Carol, our number here is 524-1080, 524-1080.
And good morning. Welcome to the Carol Cox Show. Thank you for joining us today. And beautiful day here in Hawaii. Every day is beautiful, I should say. We know that. And it's as if I have a problem with, we all know how nice it is here every single day, to include the traffic, even considering all of that and the politicians and the politics, the high cost of living and everything else. But you wake up and you're still here in paradise. So that's good. Anyway, just a little bit of, I'll call it humor, but probably sick humor. And I see that Stevie Wonder is not coming to Hawaii today or tomorrow or the next day because they blew it. But the funny thing is, I heard that the UH people were also trying to book Ray Charles and Whitney Houston and a couple of the others. So, you know, but this is the university. They must not be here in the universe or somewhere out there. Anyway, but just a little for the folks over at UH. Ray Charles is no longer with us, so if someone come along and try to get you, hire him for concert, you heard it here on the Carol Cox Show, that's a bomb deal too. But how shameful if you can be duped at the University of Hawaii than us street folks are just really, we're vulnerable. Higher learning? Anyway, I shouldn't be so nasty. But this morning, I have the pleasure of having two people here. Their last name is Vegas, Mr. and Mrs. Jeffrey Vegas, and Karina Vegas. And they have an interesting situation that have been unfolding for a while. And just last Thursday, I drove by the Mission House there on King Street across from Honolulu Holly, and I noticed there's a number of orange tents and some of the comments on them. There's signs, and it's a protest of sort, having no knowledge what it was and just how things unfold. Just yesterday, it was my intention to go down and inquire and ask questions. Well, lo and behold, I get a call from Mrs. Vegas yesterday, early morning, who was explaining to me what this is about. And this effort, and we'll have her and Mr. Vegas to explain and share with us, it's an issue that they have, an ongoing issue with the Bishop Estate. And I can tell you, people shaking their boots when you say they're challenging the Bishop Estate, and that's the general sentiment. And it rings back to me when I was a special agent here, how powerful the image that the Bishop Estate has established here and imprinted on our minds here, in that when I went to the U.S. attorney, who is now deceased, went to him and was seeking to prosecute a case involving the estate on the Big Island, and I was told, quote, I would rather prosecute God than prosecute or challenge the Bishop Estate. This was a deputy U.S. attorney that told me that. So, again, the people here this morning, they have an issue, and I think you'd be interested in just hearing the story, and it's their allegations, and we're giving them airtime, and they've actually filed a counterclaim, and there's some legal issues. And so, having said all of that, good morning, Karina and Jeffrey. How are you?
Good morning, Karen.
Good morning.
And thank you for coming in, and I hope that this effort will help shine some light, give some transparency, and give you an opportunity to share what your experiences are and some of your claims and what have you. So if you could, give us a little brief background as to what was going on and what is going on with this, if you could, either one of you.
Thank you for the question. Our family at this point is occupying right in front of Kauai Hau Plaza, Bishop Estate offices, with the organization, the Occupy Honolulu, supporting our efforts in protest to Bishop Estate on the injustices that we have experienced as a homeowner, and also in the efforts to save our home in Punalu.
Now, when you say injustices, what is this relationship? How are you saying your claims is that the Bishop Estate or an entity of a Bishop Estate is having an impact on you? And if so, how is that? What's your relationship? Are you buying, leasing, or you? What is the relationship, if you could describe that?
Thank you again for that question. Our relationship with Bishop Estate is as a lessee to lessor. We own the home. It's paid off, but it sits on leased land from Bishop Estate. And we experienced four major floods with Bishop Estate. We were trying to find out where the flooding was coming from, and in our investigations we found out that they own the mountain where we witnessed the water coming out of the drainage pipe from the mountain, and that they also own the property on the ocean side that has a culvert and a dam that empties water that comes from under the highway towards the ocean. So these discharges flooded the neighbors and ends up on our lot in its way out to the ocean. Mm-hmm. And it's raging waters.
So doing these events that you claim, they're doing heavy rains or just general rain? Or this is a stormwater management system that you're saying Bishop Estate actually put in place to manage that, or was it DOT or was it the city? How does that work? Who is responsible, or have you been able to establish that?
Thank you. Over the years, during these four major floods, we have been asking the Department of Transportation, the State Civil Defense, and, of course, with Bishop Estate as our lessor, in our efforts to find out who put in these systems. Mm-hmm. And recently we were told that these systems are on Bishop Estate land, and they are responsible, and also with the covert, it's their land. Mm-hmm. So the three State Civil Defense and State Department of Transportation have been meeting with Bishop Estate and trying to find out. But mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Bishop Estate have told Department of Transportation that they are doing a study. But Department of Transportation have made the assessment that the majority of the water that's causing all the flooding mm-hmm. comes from the landowner's property. Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. Jeffrey?
No, I think Corinna's correct in saying that during the flooding, we were trying to find out, you know, where it came from, who's responsible for it. And once we went up there, we did find a pipe that's installed into the berm of the highway, Mauka, the berm on Mauka of the highway. Mm-hmm. And that's channeling the water to the roadside, just to the open roadside. Mm-hmm. And that water is finding its way to a Department of Transportation's drainage. Mm-hmm. And the volume is more than the city's drainage can handle, as it was only built for the highway runoff.
I see.
So that extra volume inundates the city's drainage and crosses the highway, mm-hmm. then flooding the
neighbors.
Does
it generally, on occasion, has it been flooding the highway, the surface, or just running underneath? And what is the impact on
the impact is when during the heavy rains, it floods the side of the highway, mm-hmm. And crosses on top of the highway. Mm-hmm. Crosses on top mm-hmm. of the highway and then floods the neighbors. Also, the culvert on the ocean side, the dam at the end of the culvert where it empties the water that comes from underneath the highway, the dam is below sea level. It's mm-hmm. okay when it's low tide, but when it is high tide, the tide blocks the mouth of the dam, mm-hmm. and then it pushes the water all back into the culvert, and then it empties out, flooding into the neighbors and our lot.
Now, in this situation, have you had contact with Bishop Estate or its land managers, and are they denying this? Have they accepted what you're describing, or what's the conclusion? Have they been involved?
They haven't acknowledged it. We have been in contact with them over, you know, the years of the four floods, mm-hmm. and they have been informed. We have communicated with them on the phone, in writing, in person. Their team of engineers and land asset managers and directors have come walk through the site, and so they're fully aware, mm-hmm. but they have not acknowledge that they are the cause. There have been some comments made to us that have made us very uncomfortable with the way their attitude and the conduct.
And specifically, when you say that, the the comments made to you, denying that they have it, or what specifically? Because the listener, you know, when we just speak generic terms, what specifically?
One of the comments is, it's an act of God that the water is coming down, and that has been consistent, is what they have said. It's an act of God. Another comment is, if you don't like it, leave. And there are other comments, too, that because, yeah.
Okay. So, again, there's several things. And for the listener, how long have you been engaged in this, I won't call it a battle, this exchange of meetings on this particular aspect of it right here? How long? Since when?
About 5 or 6 years struggle. Mm-hmm. That we have been in communication with them, pleading with them to please fix the problem, because our family has been devastated so much.
From the floods, you see.
From the floods, you know, financially, physically, emotionally, physically, because I fell several times during the floods and hit my head. I've hit my head, you know, several times in my falls. I remember clearly one, my daughter was screaming inside the house when the sewer backed up inside the house, and she was the one that first found it.
So this, you're saying that this flooding contributed to sewage backup, and you're hooked up on city sewer, or is it septic?
Septic.
It's septic.
Okay.
Yeah.
So the flooding, the saturation of the soils there, of the surrounding?
Yes. A lot of soil erosion, because it's raging waters that go right through the property and through the house. Mm-hmm. And so each time we try to get back up on our feet after fixing the home, and we ask Bishop Estate to please help.
Help mitigate. Prevent this.
And prevent,
okay.
Yes, from happening. No help. We have not.
During this time, have they ever gone out, the land manager gone out to initiate any action to divert or build a berm or do anything physical?
No, none.
Mm-hmm. So there are other issues that you're raising with this, that accompanying this, I should say, that you're stating and you claim here, lease agreement violations contributing to and then ultimately causing devastation. Can you share with what do you mean by that, the lease agreement violations?
Before I answer that question, Carol, please, I just want to make it clear, clear point that only after we got the assessment from Department of Transportation, from the engineers, stating that the cause of the flooding is from Bishop Estate's drainage pipe and culvert, did we continue to actively reach out to
pursue a resolution through Bishop?
And you,
that's based on the determination by a state agency, the DOT engineers?
And the state civil defense, yes.
So based on that, you're then laying your claims and saying that if they've made this conclusion, that it is you saying they state formally that it is a Bishop Estate that is the construction of the pipes and the placement and the berms is contributing to that?
Yes, and therefore Department of Transportation have been supporting our family in terms of asking to meet with Bishop Estate to find a solution for the cause. And likewise, State Department of Transportation have also reached out and met with Bishop Estate land asset managers to find, to mitigate and fix the cause of the problem.
Yeah. And that question on the lease agreement, we can. But
okay,
if you could speak to that, but also share with us some of the meetings you've had or contacts and the results of those meetings. You don't have to be as they occurred specifically, but if you could, you've had meetings, and what were some of the results, and what were some of the receptions that you received? How were you received, and what was the status, and what is the status?
Well, one of the biggest things that has been violated is the consent. Mm-hmm. As a lessee, we get the consent from the lessor since they own the land, and that consent we are able to give it to the title company so we can obtain title insurance on our home.
Mm-hmm.
And when we want to get the mortgage, the title insurance is required by the banks. Mm-hmm. In order to provide a mortgage. We have been unsuccessful in getting that consent, and yet the contract clearly states that the consent cannot be withheld unreasonable.
Mm-hmm.
Nor should it be charged.
Mm-hmm.
We were charged the consent, and we were told we will get it, but they gave us preconditions in receiving the consent. And some of these preconditions have been very harsh.
Mm-hmm.
Nevertheless, we continue to try and fulfill these demands to get the consent. But each time we fulfill a precondition, they don't give the consent, and they don't give a reason why they don't give it. So that's one of the biggest things, because without that consent, we could not use the equity on our home to help pay for the flood damages and pay for the flood mitigation, and also to help us with the lease on the property.
Mm-hmm. So you basically, what kind of are you experiencing financial hardship as a result of this, or these in trying to comply with the these steps or measures? Has it cost you anything, and how are you paying for that? Or are you?
Yeah, thank you. We have been devastated financially. We have poured all our resources into fixing the house and doing a major flood mitigation.
Mm-hmm.
One of the things that they demanded that we do is to fix the hole in the seawall. They demanded we put $30,000 in escrow to fix the hole in the seawall. Mind you, we bought the house as is.
Mm-hmm.
We were not responsible for that hole. It was there. And they demanded that we close the hole.
Mm-hmm.
But after the second flood, when the water was just rapidly rising on mm-hmm. the property and in the house, we found out when the firemen came to try and help us that the hole was being blocked by all the debris that was
rushing down
from the mountain, their mm-hmm. mountain, and so they had to clear it. So after that second flood, we let them know that you cannot close the hole.
Mm-hmm.
We ended up getting a contractor and helping us fix that hole in constructed in a flood drainage, as a flood drainage,
mm-hmm.
so that when we get flooded again, the rushing, gushing water can go freely to the ocean without any blockage.
Mm-hmm. You're listening to the Carol Cox Show, 524-1080, if you'd like to call or have comment or ask questions. My guess is the Vegas family, Mr. and Mrs. Jeffrey and Karina Vegas, and we're discussing some issues that they, allegations that they bring to the table, suggesting a hardship that they're experiencing due to a lease agreements and you're renting or what have you at, from the Bishop Estate. Now, you're also alleging that, and I don't fully understand this, illegally overcharging the homeowners 6% instead of 4% according to HRS 519-24. Can you elaborate on that or share, give some insight? Because I'm completely ignorant of that.
Thank you. That HRS statutes 519, it's a law of the land in Hawaii stating that to calculate the lease amount to be charged to lessees, you take the value of the land at that point in time and you charge no more than 4% interest. Add that on to come to the calculation of the lease rent. We found out that Bishop Estate has illegally overcharged us and other homeowners. We found a letter that they sent to the bank, First Hawaiian Bank, to say, to inform your parties that they do not agree with the 4% of the law, and they have charged 6%. And that is the percentage that they have calculated their lease rent. So that is one of the injustices that we have brought to Bishop Estate and have been bringing to their attention over and over to correct that injustice, because it is a difference of several thousands of dollars to pay by the homeowner a year.
Now, you not only are you making these statements or alleging this, you've actually have engaged in legal action, and there's a counterclaim that you have, and you're also represented by a counsel, right?
Yes.
An attorney. So, having said that, what is the counterclaim? Does it speak to these same things, or what is that issue?
Yes, it does speak to these issues, specifically to the devastations of the flooding, and then to the withholding of the consent, and also I think it does ask also the correction of the illegal overcharging of the homeowners. So our counterclaim, we just filed recently. Of all the years, the four floods, we did not sue Bishop Estate or filed any legal action against them. We believe, as cultural family, and we're a religious family, we have very strong family values in that when you do something wrong, you go and correct it, and you ask for forgiveness, and then get to, you know, to a point of healing. So we have been reaching out to them after each flood, pleading with them to lower the lease amount and to at least help us, because we cannot financially fix the house and fix the flood mitigation and pay the lease at the same time. It's outrageous. Otherwise, we will be paying their lease and be homeless because the house was sinking. And the cause of the flooding was not fixed. But like I said, we've been communicating with them over the phone, letter writing. We have a documented communication very clearly on our efforts in reaching out to them all throughout. So we did not take them to court. But they have not treated us with pono or with aloha or with compassion.
Now, speaking of that, if I can ask you to take... I can take about, give you 5 minutes if you would, and explain some of the interactions you've had or exchanges. I understand that there was not only you, there's another gentleman you had spoken in the pre-interview with you, that someone that lived there committed suicide because he was attempting it. That was some of the claims. And also your attempt when you spoke of Ho'oponopono making good, share with the listeners these steps that you've taken, the informal steps of not the legal aspect, and the exchanges that you've shared with me about. They made you promises that they wouldn't take certain action that you shared with me, that they would not cancel or go forward to take legal action against that or evict you or what have you. Can you speak specifically to those, if you can, within that period?
Thank you so much for that crucial question. We met with Bishop Estate on June 18th, and we basically, again, pleaded with them to correct the wrongs and make things pono with our family, because during the court proceedings when they asked the courts to terminate our lease, we had asked them to make things pono and let us keep our home because it is paid off. But the response to us was, okay, there are no deadlines on the eviction. We assure you that your home is safe. At that point, on that day, on June 18th...
When you say safe from the floods or safe from their action?
That we will not be evicted.
Okay.
Because the attorneys had threatened to, in their land asset management division at that point, sent us a letter to say that we have until July 30th to move off their premises. So we decided then that this is the time that we want to take our case to the people, and we organized a rally to do at the state capitol in June. I forget the date, but in June. June 18th, the same morning that we met with Bishop Estate officials. So we told them we have a rally at 3 o'clock, then we will march and we will occupy your offices because we have exhausted all avenues of trying to work with you to resolve the issues and end the injustices. So they assured us, okay, there will be no deadline for eviction on June 30th. Your home will be safe, meaning you get to stay in your home. You won't be evicted.
Why would they do that? Was it an exchange of if you don't hold a rally, or was it anything like that? Were they concerned with their image?
Yes, they did not want us to go to the public because we wanted to schedule a press conference. But we were asked not to schedule a press conference, not to go to the media.
Asked by Bishop Estate, people that employ
them? Yes, the Bishop Estate, their top people. I won't mention the name and names.
I mean, if they did it, they did it. I mean, we don't have any reason, you know, as long as we don't lie. I mean, it's not critical there, but if someone asks you to hold off,
yes, thank you. We did meet with DJ Mela on the 18th, and she's the CEO of Bishop Estate, and we met with Walter, the COO of Bishop Estate, and she in her words said, Mrs. Vegas, your home will be safe. I will talk to my people and make sure that there's no deadline saying that your lease is terminated on June 30th. And we do want to meet with you again next week. We do want more time to make things pono. So please give us the time. Mm-hmm. At that point in time, I said, okay, to show good faith, we won't go to the media. We won't mm-hmm. take our case to the public. So at 3 o'clock, we went to the state capitol. We had our rally, but it was a peaceful rally of thanksgiving to God for DJ Mailer in telling us our home was safe. Mm-hmm. And then we went back home that same evening at 7:15, because I around 7, between 7 and 7:15, and at the time I looked at it on my phone at home. Mm-hmm. And as soon as we arrived home, the phone rang. And I picked it up, and it was DJ Mailer, the CEO of Bishop Estate, saying, Mrs. Vegas, thank you very much mm-hmm. for the meeting today. I want to call and let you know that your home is safe. Mm-hmm. These were her words again. And please let your children know that their home is safe. And she had to say that because during our meeting earlier on that morning, I emphasized about the children, mm-hmm. The children who are, would be, and are being the most devastated because of, you know, your they children. Are not in control of the right. situation. Mm-hmm. So that was what stayed in my heart when she said, tell your children that their home is safe and that we want to schedule another meeting next week. So we can talk some more and mm-hmm. try and make things pono. And please give my regard to your husband, Jeff. Mm-hmm. So Jeff and the children were right there because, mind you, we live out in Punalu. It's a far drive to town.
Right.
And we left early in the morning so we can meet with Bishop Estate and bring all our signs for our rally and march. So by the time we got home, it was a little after 7. So they were anxiously waiting what the phone call was. Mm-hmm. And as soon as I shared with Jeff and the kids, there was jubilation in the household. We, you know, jumped mm-hmm. with joy. And the first thing that we did was to sit down at the table and say a prayer mm-hmm. of thanksgiving. And I did tell DJ Mailer on the phone that I kept my word. I said, because you gave me your word, our home is safe. Mm-hmm. I kept my word, and I canceled the march, and I canceled going to the media. I canceled all our efforts to occupy and tell our story about the injustices. And I also told DJ Mailer on the phone that our rally was a thanksgiving to God for her decision in saving our home. And these were her words to respond back to me that that is really good, you know, thanking Keakua. We have to thank Keakua for all his, you know, gifts of kindness and aloha. Her words to that effect. Mm-hmm. But she did say, thank you, Keakua. So we had no fear then of mm-hmm. losing our home. So we were looking forward to the next week's meeting on June 26th, mm-hmm. Where we were hoping that they would now correct the injustices to do with the flooding, make things pono with us on all the pain and suffering that we had endured, mm-hmm. and especially with all the damages and the flood mitigation that our family poured hundreds of thousands of dollars into mm-hmm. constructing. But lo and behold, when we got to that June 26th meeting, mm-hmm. we were met with a totally different story. And her words to us was, Mr. and Mrs. Vegas, we have made a decision. I have met with my people. And when she said that, in my mind, I was thinking her attorneys, that they have changed their decision, that they will mm-hmm. terminate mm-hmm. the lease. Mm-hmm. And she also said the courts have made their decision. So when she said that, my heart just broke because I told her, you did not keep your word. And I, at that point, I told her it was the saddest day of my life because here is the CEO of a multi-billion organization and giving me her word the week before and then did not keep it the following meeting. Mm-hmm. I wanted to comment to her about the decision that the court made. Mm-hmm. The court's decision on their motion to terminate our lease was based totally on a default. It's a default judgment. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. It was a filing technicality. Mm-hmm. Because when they filed their motion to terminate the lease, we had another attorney. And that attorney did not file a response to the courts within 20 days.
The timely.
So when there was no response that was filed within the 20-day deadline, the judge then just, they won by default. Mm-hmm. And so once that default was entered, it was just a matter of time for the judge to sign the order. So this is how I see it. It's like going to a sports game. Mm-hmm. And one team did not show up. And so the team that showed up, they won by default. Mm-hmm. And therefore, the team that did not show up could not give their explanation mm-hmm. why they didn't show up mm-hmm. to change the decision of the other team winning by default.
Now, are you a legal beneficiary of the or any family members of the Bishop estate, and are you native Hawaiian? Do you believe that you would be a constituent of theirs or a beneficiary?
Thank you so much. We are a native Hawaiian family. We are the beneficiaries of the trust of Princess Bernice Pauahi Bishop. Two of our children graduated from Kamehameha Schools. And I think this story I want it to go to all the beneficiaries out there. Mm-hmm. That is the reason why we never sued Bishop Estate from the beginning of all these injustices done to us, because we love the school, we're dedicated to the school, we're devoted to the school, even up until this point in time. Mm-hmm. But it is not about the school, it is about Bishop Estate, the business, mm-hmm. and how it conducts its business. Mm-hmm. That trust was set in place by Pauahi because of her love and compassion for her people. So her children of Hawaiian ancestry can be educated so they can be industrious and successful, be able to survive in the new Western system. The trustees and Bishop Estate employees are working to make sure that those funds are used with kindness, compassion, and aloha mm-hmm. To carry out the Prince's mission. But we experienced personally, there was no aloha, there was no compassion, and nobody can say otherwise. Mm-hmm. Because they don't know the extent of our pain and suffering, and all they have to do is come and look at the before pictures and the after pictures of the devastations mm-hmm. and how we have improved the property with the flood mitigation. Mm-hmm. And like I told DJ Mailer, we're a very proactive family. We are not a family that sits around and wait for the sky to fall. Mm-hmm. When we are faced with that devastation, the first flood, we didn't sit there and say, poor us, mm-hmm. you know, and be the victims. We got up and we hustled, we worked, we toiled on that land. our blood, sweat, and tears on that land, mm-hmm. and we got an excavator. Jeff and I and the kids, and we worked late hours all up until 12, 1 o'clock at night trying to bulldoze all the debris mm-hmm. that came with the flooding, bring dumpsters. There were many days we stay up, we never sleep, mm-hmm. In trying to clear up the flooding debris, and the it was overwhelming.
Mm-hmm.
And many, many days we go without sleep, or maybe 1 or 2 hours of sleep,
mm-hmm.
Just to try and put into perspective the devastation. So we got back up and just worked day in and day out to yeah. get the place.
Now, you've experienced, what, 4 flooding events, or how many?
4 major floods, losing personal items and at this point in time, God has been so good in giving us the strength to get to this point now to tell our story.
Mm-hmm.
But over the years, we have not been able to, because each time we talk about it, we break down and cannot proceed, because it seems like it just happened yesterday,
mm-hmm.
and even right now. So with our relationship with Bishop Estate, as a lessee lessor, and our relationship with them as beneficiaries,
mm-hmm.
Is what made it difficult for us to sue them or do anything negative to them or badmouth them, because we are not that kind of family.
Mm-hmm.
So even up until last week, when the talks broke down and we have exhausted all avenues of trying to work with them, is when our last resort is to then now file our counter mm-hmm. Claim, which was filed last week Friday.
Mm-hmm.
And then we then said, well, they have prevented us from going to the media, and we have been kind all along.
Mm-hmm.
But I think it's time to tell our story. Because when we went to court, the judge, after that default judgment mm-hmm. that was in their favor, the judge ordered them to go to a settlement hearing with our family.
Mm-hmm.
So for months we have been trying to come to some kind of settlement.
Mm-hmm.
But each time we go, we felt like what they're offering is adding insult to our injuries. One of the offers that they gave us was they will build a 2-story house. We live upstairs, and we don't have to worry about the water flooding us because we're living upstairs. But then we have to pay rent to them. I just broke down, and I said, what, how, I didn't know how to explain my my feeling of heartbreak at that point. I said, how on earth can they offer that when our house is paid off? We've paid for appraisals each time to try and get refinancing on the house. Those monies cannot be recouped. We paid off the house. We have poured into the flood mitigation. We have fixed the hole, you know, that they demanded, that we do not need to fix according to the contract. They are supposed to pay 50%, mm-hmm. and the other 50% is ours, has to be spread out over the length of the lease term.
Mm-hmm.
But they demanded we do it up front. Everything they demand is do it up front.
Mm-hmm.
There is no leeway at all in their conduct to us. So I had told my attorney, well, Jeff and I have told our attorney, please relay to the Bishop Estate attorneys and their managers that it's not about money. It is about the injustices to end right here. Mm-hmm. The world to hear our story, so nothing like this will ever happen to another family. And it is also to correct the injustices that was done to our dear friend, the previous homeowner, who committed suicide and left a suicidal letter to Jeff and I and the kids to carry out his will, explaining why he died. And he was driven to deep depression because of the way he was treated, the harassment, intimidation, and the bullying tactics that they treated him. And he wrote, "I could no longer get up to clean the house or fix my food. And I have made a decision that I feel good going, knowing that the Vegas family and their children will buy my home and that they are good citizens." And he wrote something really good about the children. So we had made a promise that we will carry out his wishes and make sure that he did not die in vain. For all these years, we have not told our children how Brian died because my son was 7 years old at the time. My other two children were teenagers, and it would just devastate them beyond repair. So on May 20th, we sat them down, and we felt that it's time to tell them how Brian died, because the children helped us bury Brian. He committed suicide in the farthest corner of the property, and he wrote in his suicidal letter saying, "I did not want to do you any spiritual harm, so I want to get as far to away to the farthest corner of the property. And please forgive me, because there's nothing more I can do. I cannot handle the harassment from Bishop State." And ironically enough, when the floods came after Brian died, that was the direction where the floods came. And that's how we found out where the water was coming. So it sits heavy in our hearts, our minds, of the moral and ethical responsibility that we were given. That there is a reason why our family, by the good graces of God, he has guided us, why he has made us go through all these sufferings. Because there is a story that needs to be told. It is our moral and ethical responsibility to do what is right. And so we want to make sure that Brian's story is told as well.
Okay. Well, we'll come back. I keep you over for the next hour for a couple of minutes. And we'll be right back. This is the Carol Cox Show. And we'll be right back in a couple of minutes.
You better stop, dogging me around. If you don't stop, I'm gonna put you down. I can't take it much longer. My heart's getting weak. It's not getting any stronger. You keep me so upset. My head's in a whirl. But if you wanna be my girl, let us stop. Yeah.
Stay tuned for the second half of the Carol Cox Show right after the news on KWAI Honolulu, K108.
This is KWAI Honolulu, 1080 on the AM dial.
It's time for the Carol Cox Show on K108, heard every Sunday from 8 a.m. to 10 a.m. If you have questions for Carol, our number here is 524-1080, 524-1080.
Okay, good morning again, and welcome back to the Carol Cox Show. Thank you for joining me today. And again, I want to make sure that all statements and comments are attributed them to the Carol Cox Show and not KWAI. Our opinions are our opinions, and as you know, we believe that we're entitled to those and express them. If you like to join in on the conversation and have questions or had similar experience or want to give some insight or suggestions, to the Vegas family, they're in studio with me, Jeffrey and Karina, Vegas from Punalu'u. And we were discussing in the earlier hour that the issue of some flooding activities, and there's legal actions and counterclaims against the Bishop Estate in the handling and the processing of lease and other things. So anyway, and just a little side note, someone texted and wanted to know the two last songs. The one that just came in the opening was Odetta, Hit or Miss, and the one at the close of the earlier show was Jackie Wilson, Stop Dogging Me Down Around. So anyway, just thought I'd, you know, and thanks for just listening. I don't know if they enjoy what we're talking about, but they like the music, so I'm encouraged. Something's working here. On that note, we're back here. And again, guys, thank you for joining me, Jeffrey and Karina. And we also have Kaheli, their son, in the studio. And this kid looked like he's something out of a magazine, folks. I mean, it's... I think, wow, we should, when we walk through the grocery line now, we should see him gracing this face. I mean, so anyway, girls, if you want to run by and look at a handsome guy, he's here. Anyway, thank you again for joining. And I'm being the joker, but this is a serious matter. And also, I will reach out to the Bishop State tomorrow and ask them to come on if they have comments, and hopefully they do. And maybe you would like to join in with them if they accept. You know? And what everyone has told me, you better be careful. They'll sue you. They'll get you. That's the Bishop Estate. Well, okay. Well, anyway, as long as we're factual, we'll talk about it. And that's the way it is. And I was just downtown yesterday looking at the bell, and I think about the Liberty Bell. And I think that I don't hear it ringing anymore. I don't, you know. So anyway, liberty is being silenced. Even the bell now here in America seems to have some conditions of being muzzled, you know. Mm-hmm. I hear the church bells, but I don't hear the bells of freedom, and I don't hear... I just see something amiss here. So, anyway, thank you for joining me again. And let's back on the subject. You say that they're not, the allegation, not accepting culpability for flooding our home and property four times. And then now also you're asking people to assist and join in if they like to in a petition. Can you just speak to those points?
Thank you. We do want our Ohana out there. If you support our family and want to know more about our struggles in ending landlord injustices and saving our home, please go to bishopestatelandlordinjustice.com. It's a website that the children helped us put up in our efforts to try and bring some kind of sense and awareness to our situation. It explains, and it also has some of the images of the flooding and the petition. Please feel free to sign it. Submit your comments and put in your contact information. We also have a second petition. It's on change.org /petitions, or just put in change.org and then punch in or type in Bishop Estate in the find box, and it will open up to our second petition. We can also be contacted through our phone numbers, and I will provide our cellular phone numbers for myself. It is 226-4786, and Jeff's one is 554-6014. We also would like people out there to support us to call and write to Bishop Estate to end the injustices. You have heard some of it. And also please let them know to make things porno with our family. And if people can donate a dollar or more on our website of Bishop Estate Landlord and Justice.com, it has the info to donate towards our flood recovery and legal fund.
Okay. Now, with this, you talked about yesterday and briefly today, the Ho'oponopono. Did you felt, it sounded as if when speaking to you yesterday, you were there, you were almost there. And then when you began to tell me the downside of that, and as it started to slide, and I'm thinking, you probably would have been better off to just get flooded out and just because to be set up and told, yeah, we're going to take care of it, and we're going to work it out with you, and I would rather look over my shoulder and see my house collapse than be told that there's light at the end of the tunnel and there's success and we're going to work it out, and then that collapse on you, which is a more feeling of violation, if I could ask it.
Well, thank you for that comment. Yes, we all have choices in our decision making and going forward and how to deal with calamities or devastations that come your way or our way. For our family, because we are a proactive family, mm-hmm. And because of our belief system in goodness, kindness, and caring, and our Christian beliefs that our trust in God is unwavering, and that there is hope, there is always hope, is why we chose to just keep fixing the house and keep working on the flood mitigation, that there is goodness and kindness in every human being, and that to continue to work with Bishop Estate to work things out with us. Mm-hmm. Even up until this point, we got to a point where the judge asked the Bishop Estate attorneys to meet with my attorney and work something out, because the last offer was, like I said, was an insult to us. And with the comments that they made to us from the attorneys, and this is what they said, and I also shared that with DJ Mailer on our meeting on June 18th, mm-hmm. that tell the Vegases that we have all the money in the world to drag the case out and they will lose and they don't have any money to fight us and we will bankrupt the attorney. Mm-hmm. Now, when those words were given to us in the courtroom, again, my heart sank. And yes, if it was another family, if it was somebody else, they would have been outraged and maybe just up and leave and all the hundreds of thousands of dollars into the home and, you know, they would just abandon. Mm-hmm. But for our family, it just made our spirits even more stronger. Mm-hmm. Our spirits in that things need to be made pono, and no human being, whether you have all the money resources in the world, should have that arrogance, that attitude, that mm-hmm. condescending, conceited conduct and behavior to speak to another human being or to treat others, especially families that are devastated mm-hmm. or going through these sufferings. That is the last word that anyone would want to hear, especially my family, again, because we are very strong Christians. So I forgive them. So our response was, please tell Bishop Estate it's not about money. It's about the injustices. Mm-hmm. It's about our family saving our home. And we don't trust in money. And I told Phil, let Bishop Estate know, and I did also say the same scripture to DJ Mailer on our meeting on June 18th. Matthew 6, verse 24 says, you cannot serve two masters. It's either you hate the other, love the other, cherish the other, and despise the other. You cannot serve both money and God. And I told DJ Mailer and the attorneys that they can worship money, but our family will continue to worship God. And all we ask is correct the wrongs, fix the cause of the flooding, mm-hmm. make things porno with our family. Mm-hmm. And so that is the point when Bishop Estate suggested that we go to open porno. We agreed because over the years we have asked to go to open porno because it's a very comprehensive spiritual process where we can bring all the pilikia to the table and everyone have to be honest, mm-hmm. and there are no judges that manipulate the law and no attorneys, no attorneys to manipulate the laws. It's just our family and Bishop Estate family. We were anxious to get to that point because as a cultural family, it's very peaceful, and we want to get to a point of forgiveness and then heal. Mm-hmm. So we started preparing for Ho'oponopono. A cultural practitioner, we had searched a cultural practitioner, and Mona Nalamaku Simeona introduced Ho'oponopono to Hawaii and the world. Her apprentice and student that traveled with her around the world was Earl Pamaiten. So we had asked him if he can be the cultural practitioner. On May 21st was the date, and we had agreed at Kava'i Hau Church because we are members of Kava'i Hau, and we want to hold the spiritual process where the spirits are mm-hmm. of God and our ancestors. Unfortunately, over those several months, we have been trying to get them to come to Ho'oponopono. They insisted on going to legal mediation. They suggested Judge Yim to be the mediator, and we went back and forth, and we responded to them that legal mediation is still part of the court system. It's not Ho'oponopono. Ho'oponopono is a cultural process and facilitated by a cultural practitioner. Then they came back with, well, let's have Judge Ka'ulu Kukui. He's Hawaiian and he's cultural. And let's go to prevention resolution. We did not agree because that's still part of the legal system. Mm-hmm. And although we respect Judge Ka'ulu Kukui, he is still a judge. So on May 21st, we were prepared with our spirits on Ho'oponopono, thinking this was the end of our journey. Unfortunately, it did not happen. Bishop Estate attorneys insisted that that we just meet, and we meet according to the legal meeting mm-hmm. procedures. So we had to meet with them because the children came prepared with their statements for Ho'oponopono. Mm-hmm. So we just asked to please respect the children's mana'o and let them hear the children's mana'o that they had prepared for Ho'oponopono. And then they can be excused so that legal meeting that they wanted with us can continue. Mm-hmm. So that's what happened on May 21st. So we did not have a Ho'oponopono. So thereafter was a series of events. Like I said, that we met with DJ Mela on June 18th and then June 26th. And then we asked them again to please make things right with our family. and made another offer that was, again, didn't even begin to address our devastation. Mm-hmm. So on July 6th, we decided we need to take our story to the public. So we started with the sign waving in front of their office, and then we asked our attorney to now file our lawsuit on the flooding and other issues.
You mentioned yesterday we were talking. You've reached out to a great many parties and bodies to include your kahu and from Kauai House Church and what have you. And so you've tried to reach an amicable agreement or settle by soliciting and incorporating the help of those. How did that work? Did they respect that, or did they listen to the kahu? What was the status of that, if you could speak to that?
Thank you for asking the question. We respect kahu as our spiritual leader, as the shepherd for the flock at Kauai Hau, which includes our family as the sheep, and that is how we relate to him as our kahu. He had called us. We had called him. We want to schedule a press conference, but it ended up where kahu was in communication with Bishop Estate, mm-hmm. and Bishop Estate wants to meet with us and not go to hold our press conference. So that's how we then agreed to go with our kahu to meet with DJ Mela, mm-hmm. and the COO. And then he also was with us on June 26th following meeting.
Mm-hmm.
And unfortunately, that the results of that meeting was DJ Mela went back on her word and said that she has made her decision and will terminate our lease on July. Now instead of June 30th, but now July 30th.
Mm-hmm.
But I want to bring it up to speed to last week, Friday. When we filed our lawsuit on Friday, July 6th, on Monday, late Monday at the closing of business day, we received a letter from Bishop Estate saying that they are going to exercise their right to evict us right away.
Mm-hmm.
We were kind of, how shall I say, even more devastated because we had written to them a letter, still trying to have them make things porno with us. And when we didn't get a response, that was when we filed our lawsuit. And it seems like as soon as they received that, they retaliated, because I see it as retaliatory actions.
Mm-hmm.
And sent that letter that we received late Monday saying we're going to evict you immediately.
Mm-hmm.
So we decided to continue then with our public plea, and held our rally at the state capitol again at 3 o'clock on Tuesday, July 10th. And then we marched down to King Street and occupied Bishop Estate offices, or the sidewalk in front of the offices. When we, at the end of the march, we presented a petition book. And this book had the signatures and comments of all the individuals and supporters to our family. So we presented it to Paul Kekor, their public relations personnel, and then we continued to set up the tents with the Occupy Honolulu and occupied the sidewalk. That was our way of bringing our awareness to the public to please come support, and because we don't know of other families of injustices that they have been done to them. And so we want people out there, if there are injustices that have been done to them by Bishop Estate or corporations, please come out. Come out. The actions that have been done to us, although we have been suffering, but it has made our spirit stronger. And we are alone in our fight, but we know that there are many families. Should I say that alone in terms of our family speaking out on the injustices, but we're not alone in terms of the support that we have received. It has been overwhelming. We are occupying, so please come join us, because our next reach now was to the governor, state of Hawaii. On Thursday, we hand-delivered our letter to the governor to intervene on our behalf. But before we did on Thursday, on Tuesday when we were, when we presented Bishop Estate with our petition, and we were sign-waving in front of their offices, they must have called the sheriff, who came right up to us while we were there in front of their office and served us their eviction notice. And this was Tuesday, July 10th, and they said, you need to vacate the premises on Sunday.
Your home.
My home that is paid off. So, again, I look at it as very retaliatory in nature, that each time we try and reach out to them to correct the wrongs, we keep getting retaliated against, because that is not a well-thought-out decision. We see it, all the decisions and the conduct and the attitude and how we are being treated do not seem to be decisions made that are well-thought-out from your intelligence, your soul, your na'au, and combine the three to make comprehensive decisions so that there's aloha and there's compassion. So delivering that letter to Governor Neola Abercrombie on Thursday, and we sent copies to state senators and representatives in our efforts now to remove the eviction notice that we're retaliating against on Sunday, when in our meeting, DJ Mela on June 26th says July 30th.
So, but earlier you share with us that she had told you everything was safe and okay.
Yes.
Now you're at the point. Now let me ask you, as the sheriff, on occasion they may drive by. Have you seen them by your property? Has any official tried to hurry you in this eviction process since they've served you?
No. Well, we were served on Tuesday, and we are supposed to be evicted on Sunday. Today. Officials have intervened on our behalf now, and I thank Ernie Martin, our city councilman, our state senator, our state representative, Senator Daniel Akaka has stepped in, you know, in a big way. And intervene on our behalf to take that eviction notice off. And that is why we are able to sit here and speak with you to tell our story. So we have time now. The eviction is moved to July 30th or 31st. And that gives us some breathing room so we can again try to work things out with Bishop Estate.
Now, Have you tried to reach out to the other media or to have, when what if you have what's the result? Have this been aired or anyone talked?
Thank you so much, because we did send out a news media alert to Hawaii News Now with KITV 4 News, KGB, KHONL. We have sent out the news media alert and to the Honolulu Advertiser. Our march and our rally was very visible. We had the sheriffs and the cops were very nice. They were very sensitive, very supportive, and just guided us in terms of allowing us to say our prayer meeting at the Capitol, and organizing ourselves for the march. Mm-hmm. Unfortunately, none of the media turned up on that day. They turned up after the march. We were interviewed. I was interviewed by the Honolulu Advertiser and by Hawaii News Now, which I think has three or four affiliate TV stations. But we have been watching the newspaper and watching the televisions. And our story has not been aired. So we are kind of wondering what is happening, because we have watched on the TV news of cats being rescued and reconnected with their owners, of dogs. And here is a huge story of devastations happening and injustices happening right here in the island, and the media chose not to tell our story. And one of our supporters from the Occupy Honolulu contacted the media, and their response was, well, we chose not to air it, didn't give a reason. And according to our supporter, it seemed like they took sides with Bishop Estate. Mm-hmm. So it saddens me. It saddens me, but it still strengthens our souls, because as one door closes, God opens another door. Mm-hmm. And it seems that has been the path of our journey of sorts in trying to bring the injustices to light, because the door was closed with the regular media, but God opened the other door, which is your program, Kara Cox. So we are very blessed in you having us this morning. Mm-hmm. So it seems like God is still using us as instruments to continue this journey for his bigger purposes. Mm-hmm. And if that purpose is to end the injustices and save our home, then so be it, so that it helps many families. Because our neighbors, everyone, have been petrified. I think when there is a point in time that God allows our family to get to the healing point, I think then it will strengthen other families to come forward, because there have been a lot of families that have been experiencing the same thing. So mm-hmm. I encourage them to come forward, because as long as you believe in God and God is on your side, who else is against you? Because our story is one of a David and Goliath. Mm-hmm. And we don't have the money resources that Bishop Estate has. All we have is our belief in God and our focus on what is right. And it seems like he has continued and allowed us to continue this journey, because mm-hmm. there is a lesson to be learnt mm-hmm. for everyone, and especially for Bishop Estate. And our prayer has been to forgive them. To forgive them, because with our interactions, it seemed like they have forgotten the humanistic feelings, decisions that need to be made from a humanistic perspective, rather than from just money. Because when it's done, just focus on the money, then there will be a lot of hurt. There will be a lot of hurt and suffering.
And the hurt in your situation, you're Native Hawaiian, and you have children that have attended the school. So clearly, for those detractors out there that may, well, they're just selfish and anybody can make the claim. But in fact, your children have attended Kamehameha schools and benefited as beneficiaries from that program. But on this situation, the allegations you're making, they're having a negative impact on you.
Mm-hmm. Yes, definitely. Mm-hmm. I do want to make a point about our children. They have been in on our struggles from day one and have contributed greatly to making the community that we live in very positive and thriving. Because when we came there, the homeowners, there was no community. How the landowner, how Bishop Estate has been stewarding the land has been in the form of a slumlord. Mm-hmm. And when I say slumlord, it means that there are problems, but they don't fix it. They just allow those problems to fester, and if the homeowners fix it, good. If they don't, then they continue to suffer. So we came along. There has been drug dealing in the community, robbings, and there were dilapidated houses on Bishop Estate lots next to us, housing homeless and drug dealers, and these negative activities were very visible. Homeowners were complaining to Bishop Estate about it. The response was, which is consistent, if you don't like it, leave. Mm-hmm. Then they raised the rent, and the homeowners asked, why are you raising it when we are suffering? We cannot even enjoy the homes. You know, in the contract it says you have, you know, the privilege of enjoying your home because peacefully. It's our peacefully. It's our number one asset for anyone roof over their head. So they just allow problems to fester. So what our family did, we called the Honolulu Police Department, tried to work with Kahuku, with the Kaneohe, with the Honolulu Police Department, the Narcotics Division, with Bishop Estate. We have been informing them of all the problems and continue on to work towards making it better. We wrote to the mayor. It was nonstop. We started a neighborhood watch, and we bought cameras, disposable cameras, and we gave it out to strangers. We gave it out to our neighbors to take pictures of any untoward activity that they see, in trying to evict, or rather, in trying to clean up the neighborhood. Mm-hmm. It was successful. Our neighborhood watch was successful. And one of the requests we asked Mayor Mufi, who was the mayor back then, he was very responsive to our pleas, was to change the police personnel that work in Honolulu, exchange it with the police personnel in Kahuku and Kaneohe. Because the current ones at that time, when the homeowners called for help, the cops, they come and they said, we're sorry. All we can do is just take a report. They were discouraging the neighbors from making reports. And that was one of the injustices that the Brian, our friend that committed suicide, suffered a lot. He was robbed 30 times. We were robbed 15 times. The other injustice was just allowing the pest to breed in these houses. Mm-hmm. And when the homeowners tried to put up the fence, the land asset manager would say, take it down. And Brian would say, but you're not doing anything to protect me from your dilapidated houses that house the drug dealers mm-hmm. that, you know, rob my place. So the children have been through a lot because my son was 7 years old at the time. One such robbing at 5:30 in the evening, Jeff and Kahele come home and catch two guys red-handed in the front part of the property, taking apart our van, the van. And he had already taken out the battery and was taking out the tires. And so when the cops were called, that was at 5:30. They did not come until 10 o'clock at night. And so I'm trying to illustrate a picture of how terrible the community was and fearful of all these problems by Bishop Estate as a landowner that they should have corrected. Mm-hmm. But the attitude is, well, if you can prove it, then take us to court. Again, who can take them to court? Who has the resources? Because, again, of the attitude that we have experienced with them saying they have all the money to drag out cases. So the children, again, have contributed. Now that environment is very safe. It's mm-hmm. drug-free. We are not being robbed again. And it's a thriving community. Mm-hmm. And it's all due to our efforts.
Mm-hmm. Well, your fight will continue, I'm sure. And if you care to come back at a later date and update us, as I say, I'll reach out tomorrow for the Bishop of Estate and see if they will be cordial enough or kind enough to afford us an interview or participate and try and respond to some of the questions or give us some insight from their perspective or whatever. So I thank you, both of you, Jeff
thank
and
you,
Karina
mm-hmm.
and Kahele. You didn't want to say anything, but I understand. But I'm hoping things work out for you and the officials that you've consented or consulted and inquire for ask for assistance. I hope that works out. But if not, feel free to call us back. Mm-hmm. And for the caller that called in, patience is important at this show. We're not here entertaining anyone. So I know you may have had a comment and wanted to speak, but we're not here trying to compete with the talk shows. Mm-hmm. So anyway, thank you again, Vegas. Is there
thank
anything
you.
In closing real quick?
Yes. Jeff, would you like to make a comment? Because we do want to reach out to Bishop Estate again through your radio program. Mm-hmm. We are willing to, you know, come to the table. Please make things bono with our family. That's all we ask. And correct the cause of the flooding. Bishop Estate, we want to get to a point where we can heal. Mm-hmm. And we do forgive them. Mm-hmm. And the community to please support us and sign our petition and call Bishop Estate, write letters to let us keep our home.
Okay.
We want to keep our home.
Yep, that's it. Okay. I think Corinna's said it all. And thank you again, Carol, for having us.
Anytime, and feel free. And we have another 10 minutes of it and close it. But, again, thank you. And I hope it works out for you, and I hope this will help. And feel free to call back, and I'll be keeping an eye and hoping, asking some questions. Mm-hmm. But in closing, I wanted to talk about another couple of statements. Last week, I talked about shredding of documents by the Department of Community Services or Community Development, whatever. It's a city office, and I had indicated to you that they were shredding documents and withholding documents from the HUD, Department of United States HUD, Housing and Urban Development. Well, lo and behold, I was able to receive a call and spoke to a couple of individuals and then went further. And it was confirmed. I already knew it. I wouldn't sit here and state it if it wasn't. I had other evidence of it. But it was confirmed by people close to that situation that, yes, in November, December of 2010, they actually report the city employees shredding documents. And you might ask, well, what were they shredding? What was the big deal? If we go back, there was a loan program conducted by the city, which using federal monies, and these loans were given to, for example, the ORI out at Helimanu, and the information that we got was that they were loans, and you know, substantial amounts of money, closing into $1 million or so in these programs, several programs, and they wanted to convert the loans to grants to avoid the original parties from getting the loans having to pay it back. Because, you know, we wanted to see what was the motive, you know, the allegations that they were shredding, but why? Well, now we know. And we look further, and Susanna Chung, who is a president or CEO of Helimanu and ORI, and we noticed that, quite curious, that Mufi Hanneman is in receipt of at least $15,000 from that organization. Now, how is it that members of that organization, now I know that the organization can't donate to political campaigns as a nonprofit. The individual can, but it raises the ire and it causes some questions. How is it that an entity, the records show that they trying to get their loans forgiven or converted to grants, but yet they're unable to pay back, but then giving substantial amounts of money to the mayor at that time for who in turn was going to run for office and the grants or the loans be forgiven. But I also, not only did I rely on those comments, but I'm told specifically that the allegations that I made were, and the statements were, that they were withholding documents from HUD. And sure enough, I was able to confirm that, yes, they are withholding documents. And some of these documents are emails. And they are emails that speak specifically to asking questions as to how can they forgive the loans and turn them into grants. They don't want the HUD office to know that. Well, I contacted HUD, and HUD was, as usual, you know, one government agency to the next. They're both squandering our money. So here's what happened. Oh, we didn't know that. But, you know, it's really not a big deal, but yet they're supposedly investigating. So I say to you that let's ask these basic questions. If you can't pay the loan, and you got the money from the city council on the conditions of a loan representing, why didn't you go back to the city council to ask for approval to convert those loans in the millions to grants? But then if you don't go back to the city council, that's one step in shielding and shredding. And so if you don't do that, then HUD would never know that you've converted, and you would never know the conditions of those loans. So again, as I've said, the city is not just corrupt now. The city is out of whack, out of control, and you and I pay for it. And I can only tell you, I have the facts, I have the documents, I even have the exact dates of the months of the emails that are being withheld from HUD that speak specifically to the forgiving of the loans. So again, what strikes me is I ask this big question. How is it that the mayor who oversees this whole process at that time would be receiving huge amounts of donations, this is Mufi Hanneman, from the president or the CEO of ORI, as well as her husband, Ho Ming Chung. So it bears watching, and we're going to be following with the Inspector General at HUD, because I don't believe that Mr. Chandler, the person who is supposedly investigating, I think he too has gotten too cozy and love paradise and do not appreciate the fact that we still own government and government is us. And until that attitude changes, I'm going to keep reporting and digging. So it's disheartening, and I just have to scratch my head and ask the question, if you can't pay the loan and the people that gave you the loan is now orchestrating forgiveness, and then at the end of the day, they in turn receive large donations from you, something's awry there. Something, I smell something. So I don't know what it is, but again, is this good government? Don't know. Is it our government? Yes, it is. I can answer that, but it won't be ours if we continue to tolerate this kind of behavior. So remember, walking in that little candy stripe booth that we call the voting machine or the voting booth, it's left up to you. Don't complain. Don't cry. And if the world goes to hell in the handbasket, I can say to you, I told you so. Okay, so I'll see you next week, and let's see if we can give the Vegas and others a hand. And again, we have the right to speak and ask questions, and we shouldn't be afraid of, and this is speaking to those that said, be careful, this is the Bishop of State that you're talking about. We're not talking about them. We're asking to be factual, and this is America. Until that change, I don't know what else to do. So take care. See you next week.
Just don't get forget, no peace.
Thank you for tuning in to the Carol Cox Show, heard every Sunday mornings from 8 a.m. to 10 a.m. right here on K108. Tune in again next time for the Carol Cox Show, right here at KWAI.